All of the opinions expressed in this podcast are often based on our memories, none of which are representative of Ashbrook High School or Gaston County Schools. Thank you. Hey, I'm Andrew Collins.
And I'm Tripp Griffin.
And we are telling our second Ashbrook story tonight, and we are going to be doing our first telephone interview with an alum of Ashbrook High School. If you'd like to introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Monica Blackman, and I am from class 2001.
You know, on our last episode, Monica, I said 2002, but I was trying to guess, and my mind is not as sharp as it used to be, and I was trying to do the math. I knew it was right around there. And you know what I thought back to? I thought back to Holbrook. I said, okay, they won the county basketball championship, and I was trying to think of what year that was, and I was trying to add forward, and I just missed it by a year.
Right. No problem.
And the same thing you told the IRS a couple of years ago, so just, you know, watch his excuses.
But actually, I made you a year younger because I said you were
2002. Oh, I'll take that. Yeah. I'll definitely take that for sure. Yeah.
Okay, so what we want to hear is everything you've done since June of 2001, starting with your diploma.
Oh, my God. Okay.
But you have to do it in 25 minutes.
Okay, I'll try to make it brief. I actually made, like, a few quick notes so I could, like, summarize pretty quickly.
You prepared more than we do.
Yeah. Actually, you're making us look good. We appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. You guys know I got a scholarship to Clemson. And after 2 years, I left Clemson and I transferred to Fordham University, which is in the Bronx in New York. I got tired of living in the country and I wanted to live in the city. And I just randomly heard about Fordham through a friend through 9/11. He lost his uncle and his dad, unfortunately, and he was going back to school in New York to help out with his mom. And I wanted a change, and I sent the coach my videotape. I got Clemson to release me, and they offered me a full ride.
So you went,
I graduated.
You did play basketball at Fordham. You did play basketball.
Well,
at Fordham,
I got hurt. I hurt my back. I ended up breaking my finger the first, I believe it was like the first 3 or 4 months living in New York. I had to have hand surgery on my hand,
gosh,
which was my right hand. So all of my exams were verbal.
That's a bonus.
Yeah, it could be. And if you don't know what you're talking about, then you're definitely going to know you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but there's no spelling problems then. You're covered.
That's true. So unfortunately, I wasn't able to finish out playing basketball for Fordham. However, I got to be a regular college student for 2 years in New York, and that was an amazing experience. I graduated with a BA in Public Relations, Organizational Communications. And at the time of my graduation, that was when the market was crashing, a lot was going on, Bush was in office, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
And it was hard to find, like, a job in the field that I wanted to go into. And so I got into retail management. I managed some boutiques on the Upper East Side, and I got to see a lot of celebrities, and I got to live my Carrie Bradshaw life on an H&M budget. And it was great. It was really cool, and I wouldn't trade those years in for anything. And towards the end of me living in New York, I worked for Michaela Savoia, which is he was a tailor, and we worked on the Broadway show Evita with Ricky Martin. So I got to meet Ricky Martin. He was super cool and really nice and gracious, which is always refreshing to see when you meet a celebrity.
No kidding, living the life of Evita. That's cool.
Now, he was in Menudo, right? Is that the guy?
Yes, okay. He was. Yeah. And he was also in General Hospital, too. That's what I remember him from, is General Hospital. So I worked for Savoia for a few years, which was great because I really got to see what all it took to, like, build a garment, patterns, and I learned a lot from him. And when I turned 30, I'd been in New York for 10 years, and I needed a change. And so my sister had played basketball at Georgia Tech, and she still lived in Atlanta at the time, and she suggested that I move to Atlanta, and I wanted to be in the movie industry. I wanted to work in costumes. I've always loved fashion. Anybody that knows me knows I've always been obsessed. artist, and I wanted to make my career into that. And so I moved to Atlanta. I sold all of my stuff in New York, moved to Atlanta, and I was going to, you know, get in the movie industry. Well, I found out when I got here that it wasn't as easy as I thought it was going to be, and I ended up in, like, office management jobs on and off for probably, I've been in Atlanta since 2013, so now for 7 years.
Okay, so you're still living in Atlanta?
I'm still living in Atlanta, okay. Yes, currently. And I got tired of working in office management, so last year I decided that I was going to figure out a way to get into the industry. And I actually spoke to one of my old bosses, and I said, do you know anyone? And my dad always told me, you know, it's preparation meets opportunity. And I felt like I was prepared. I just needed the opportunity. But it's so hard to meet people when you're new to a city, and Atlanta's so large. And I got here, and she suggested a teacher whose brother was in the industry. And so I spoke with her, and she gave me a name of another girl. And so I met with that girl, Lori. Thank God for Lori. And we had coffee, and some Saturdays I would work. I was working two jobs. I would work a part-time job on Saturday. And, you know, whenever I had a break, I would meet with Lori. We would work on my resume, and she gave me names. And whenever I had a moment, I would go and email all these producers, costumers. And finally, I started to get feedback, but I was afraid to make the jump.
Right.
Because of job security, I had insurance, I had vacation days, and, you know, the movie industry, you're on a job for maybe a month or 3 weeks or, you know, 6 weeks or a year. So for me, that was a big leap, but I just felt like it was something that I needed to do. And this past year on my birthday, I got a call to come in and work on Stranger Things.
What a birthday present.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, and that was,
yeah, so that
what,
was awesome.
How long have you been working on? Well, let me just tell everybody, and that's one of the things we've talked about in the past couple of shows that we were going to be interviewing. We didn't want to drop names, so we did not mention your name on the air. But you have been working on the Stranger Things show for how long now?
I started in November.
Okay.
Of last year. Yeah.
Okay. Now, are you going to be mad at me if I've only seen half of one episode?
It's okay. My mom is still confused on the title of the show. My dad still asks me. He's like, it's on Netflix, right? What is it called? People are asking me. I don't know the name of it. But, you know, my boyfriend and I, we watched the show when it came out. And then this past year, my stepson, who just turned 11, he kind of was old enough to start watching it, so he became obsessed with the show. So I definitely scored cool points with him now that I'm working on the show, for sure.
Definitely.
Yep, you're definitely going on a career day.
Definitely.
Well, I've been able to get him a couple of shirts from the characters from the show, so it's nice to get swag and be able to bring it home and have somebody just as excited to receive it as I am to give it to him, so... It's really nice.
That's
no
cool.
doubt.
That's
so
very cool.
This show, I have to go by what people tell me about it. First of all, I've never talked to anybody that did.
Wait a minute. For full disclosure, I have seen all three seasons.
Oh, yeah.
So.
He's the resident expert tonight. I know everything else. But
I lived through the 80s. Collins was in the 60s, but I made it through the 80s. So.
I'm a 70s and 80s guy. But so this show is sort of like the Brady Bunch meets the X-Files, right? Or Tripp shaking his head.
My boyfriend says it's like Dungeons and Dragons, like not, you know, maybe not Dungeons and Dragons. I'm not really sure. I don't really follow science fiction like that. But yeah, I guess if you want to classify, it's definitely catered towards the youth for sure. But, you know, Winona's on it, and I love Winona growing up. So I've been super excited to just be a part of something she's a part of because she's legendary. So
yeah. I don't know if you know, I have two younger kids now too. I have a 10-year-old and a 4-year-old, plus my older. But the 10-year-old is obsessed with the Masked Singer. And last night the judges were talking about, there's this, I don't remember if it was a cat or a mouse or something, one of the characters, and their guess was that it was one of the stars of Stranger Things. Like, it's this dainty girl or something, but I don't know.
See, the fact that you let that child watch The Masked Singer means that DSS is probably coming.
The whole Masked Singer thing really does weird me out. I don't know if you've seen it, but it reminds me of like the characters from the Capitol from the Hunger Games movies. But their mouths don't move, and I can't get past that. I watch it, and it's just a mask, and they're holding up a microphone, but the mouths don't move, and it really weirds me out.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard a lot about it. I've heard it's a hit show these days.
So. Yeah. So New York City was really about as far away from Clemson, culturally and just in every aspect, I guess. That was a big move.
Yeah, it was, but I kind of always knew I was going to move to New York City. I went as like a teenager, and I told my mom, I was like, I'm moving here. This is my place. Like, I know I'm going to live in New York. So when I got that opportunity to move up there, I did not waste any time. My parents literally drove me up. My dad dropped me off. And they were gone like 2 hours later, headed back down south. He was wasting no time.
Like that was enough for them.
And as soon as they left, I got on the subway and I went straight to Times Square because I had been up there before. So I knew how to like maneuver the subways. And so I was ready to hit the ground running.
Yeah, probably 90 minutes of those 2 hours were spent at the Holland Tunnel trying to get out. So.
Right, exactly.
Now, did you have Mr. Griffin when you were at Ashbrook?
No, I did not have Mr. Griffin at Ashbrook.
Oh,
that's a true story.
I don't think I did, but like my memory's just as bad as yours.
Right.
No, you would remember. You would remember. For sure. Well, so Stranger Things, I know that's a big deal. And I know we had a lot of, teachers that had some questions. And actually, our assistant principal, she sent the form to her daughter who is in middle school. And she was like,
okay.
Can I come to the interview? And I was like, well, it's a phone interview. If you want to sit and watch
me people and talk Griffin. On the phone, it'll be like teaching class. Hey, look at these kids on the phone.
Yeah.
Right.
So we want to ask you a few of these. And honestly, okay. If you can't answer it, just say, I can't. Because, I mean, some of them are asking about, like, stuff that, what do you think is going to happen or whatever.
Okay, all right.
And I know you probably can't say on some of that.
Right, we're not trying to get anybody fired. So.
Yeah, I signed an NDA.
Yes, yeah. But, so we're trying to just focus more on the opinions. And once again, these are pretty good questions, I think, are pretty safe. One of these, let me get back in the microphone here.
I think
one's probably pretty easy. It says yes with two all capital letters, two Y's, three E's, and four S's. So I guess they're excited about this question. It says, okay. When is the next season coming out?
Oh boy, that I do not know. I know they dropped a clip of a preview on Valentine's Day, so that's available online, and you know, it's kind of up to the writers and et cetera. I honestly don't know the date of when it's going to come out.
Okay.
Hopefully within the near future, I would think.
But are y'all still filming season four, or is it done and just a matter of?
Well, we just started, honestly. Okay. So the clip that they showed is about like a 30-second clip. It's definitely worth watching. If you haven't looked at it, it's definitely available on Twitter.
Right.
But yeah, I'm not sure.
So how long does, 30 seconds of clipped, edited, ready to go TV, how long does that take to make?
Well, it's not really necessarily the making process. It's everything that goes into the background of it. I think people, when you're at home, when you're on television, when you're at home and you're on your couch and you're watching television and say it's a scripted show, you don't really realize all of the work that it takes to put it together. And you know, that's what I've seen. It's definitely not as glamorous as people may think it might be, because I work 12-hour days just like today. I told you guys I might be running a few minutes late because I had to stay over. So it definitely can be a lot of things going on. And I'm sorry, I totally blanked out on the question that you guys were asking me about.
You are just like us.
Yep. Birds of a feather.
I'm like interviewing myself.
the time dilation between, you know, how long,
right?
How much
okay.
invested
so, yeah.
time it is to get 30 seconds out.
Right. There's a lot of prep work prior to that 30-second clip, you know, and it's not just like a week worth of prep work. It's months of prep work. So you have the prop people and costuming, and that's what I'm in the costumes. And so the background people, every little single detail that you see, a button, is all like picked out by the designer. Like, wow. It's so much more going into it than just, you know, we're just throwing like a police officer's uniform on or whatever. Like, that's just how it is. So
you work on the costume.
It's a lot of work.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
You work on the costume end. What is your title?
I'm a costume production assistant. So if you look at the pyramid, I'm at the very bottom of the totem pole. But
you're one of the building blocks.
So much.
That's the building
and
blocks.
And I agree.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I joke with everyone. I feel like I'm Belle from Beauty and the Beast. When I pull up to the studio lot and I pull in my parking space that has my name on it, I'm saying hello to everyone. I'm singing, like, I'm in the best mood. I know the janitors. I know the security guards. I know the guys who drive the trucks. Like, I make a point to speak to everyone, and I love it. Like, my dad asked me, he goes, how are you going to work for such long hours like that? And I'm like, Dad, when you love something, like, when you love what you're doing, time goes by so much faster throughout the day. Like, I can blink and it's 4:00, and I'm like, where's the day gone? But when you love what you're doing and you're around people who are just as passionate about what they're doing, it sets a totally different tone for the day, you know. Yeah. So 12 hours doesn't seem so bad when you're doing something and you see the end product and you see how excited people are about that end product. It's totally worth it.
Well, that's something that, you know, not just our students now, but people in general can learn from. You know, you take a risk, you know, you've had to take some risks, and like you said, gave up a job that was secure, insurance, all that, and being able to step out and do something that you love. It's the quote that you never have to work a day in your life if you love what you're doing.
Right, yeah. Exactly. You know, the funny thing is I was worried about all of that. I was worried about, like, insurance and et cetera. But things actually worked out better for me on the flip side of things. Once I got there, I was provided with everything, and it was for free, you know. And, like, I don't have to pay for food, and, like, it just turned out so much better for me. So that whole time I was worried about things, it ended up working out in the end better for me. So, and again, it wouldn't have happened without, like, my support group. My boyfriend, who I've been with for 7 years, he supported me 110%. And it's great when you have that person, that companion. It could be your mother, your dad, your sister. My family supported me. I had my friend Juan. He was always in my corner. It's good to have those people that are always encouraging you to follow your dreams. And I would encourage all of your students who are in their classes now that don't think that something's possible, each experience that you have, you take and you learn from it. I think about, like, I worked for a fire sprinkler company for a couple of years. And I worked for an engineer, and he was the CEO of the company. He was very demanding, and I hated going to work every day, you guys. Even, like, I would think, like, in my head, and I only worked, like, 10 minutes away from my house, which is great in Atlanta because traffic is ridiculous. But each day I would go to work, I'd be like, God, I hate this job. How can I, like, get out of this? And I would just write down ideas of what I could do in my free time. And I would just encourage people to just always pursue. And you know what? I learned so much from him. And that's the whole point of this, is that each one of those jobs that I hated, I took something from that. And they've all come together in this job. All those skills that I've, like, honed in on is all come together working on Stranger Things. So,
well, let me ask,
take the good with the bad.
Yeah.
Right.
You learn from the positives and you learn from the negatives.
Right.
Let me ask two of the questions that I can ask because they don't deal specifically with the show.
And they're small words.
I understand these, yes. So one of the questions was, we had put down that you were a production assistant, so I was right there. What does a production assistant for Stranger Things do? Like, your role specifically, what do you do?
And I'm already jealous of a parking space with your name on it, because we get a hunting license in the morning. Like, okay, go find a shot. Good luck.
Well, the production assistant handles, like, everything the designer could need. And in costumes, there's probably about a total of 20 of us on staff. So there's always something going on. Someone always needs something, and we are always on call for whatever needs may happen. And the thing about working on this current show, I was lucky to get an amazing designer, Amy, who is willing to ask anyone about their input or suggestions for clothes that, you know, some of the main characters may wear or some of the background. And I appreciate that. And everybody is, you know, they see that how hungry I am for it, and everybody's been so welcoming. And, you know, the funny thing is that when I moved to Atlanta, I kept saying, I haven't really found like my clique, my people. Like, I made great friends, but I made those friends through my boyfriend, through his friends, you know, his friends' wives. And I love them to death too, don't get me wrong. I love them, but I was like, I just haven't found like my group of people. And now that I've worked on this show, it's like, ah, oh, there they are.
All right. These are the people I've been looking for.
Yeah. So it's great, and it's fun to laugh at work. Like, to be able to laugh at work is golden to me. So,
now, does your name come up in the credits at the end of the shows?
Yeah. So when I got offered the job, Netflix sent out a contract, and they asked, "What do you want your name to be at the end of the credits?" And for me, when I got that, I was like, okay, wow, this is really happening. So,
what does it say for your
dad and me?
What does it say for your title?
I'm a costume production assistant.
So that's what it says. Do you make your boyfriend watch through the credits every time now?
Well, it hasn't aired yet. I'm on season 4, so
season 4 has not
aired yet.
Well, listen,
so
make him.
See, time
him.
Is not linear for Collins. Yeah. He's working on that, but it's not.
Could you have chosen, like, key grip? I always see that in the credits, but I have no idea what it does.
No, I strictly want to stay in, like, costuming and designing, that kind of my end goal in TV and movies.
You mentioned that you get free food, and that actually leads into one of the questions. Mr. Gazaskis, he came actually after your time at Ashbrook, but he is one of the old timers that's there. He came probably 2 years after you graduated.
And he also kind of came before your time, because he graduated in 90.
Right, he was a 98 grad.
98, yeah.
Okay.
So, actually, I guess he would have been there with you, maybe.
That's not how numbers work.
Sorry. Okay, so his question is a good one. It has to do with that. It says, how do you rate the Stranger Things craft service versus anything else you've been involved with?
That is literally the question that was sent to us. So. Yep.
I can't comment on it. I will say this, though. I had some amazing sushi today at one of my favorite spots, because I was out running an errand. So that was nice. That was a nice stop in, a nice benefit.
Very cool.
The food's good. I like the food. Look, I'm not that picky, and the fact that it's like free food, like, who's gonna be mad at free food? You know,
right.
Like, clearly they're not gonna like serve anything that's totally disgusting, I wouldn't think. So I like the questions, though.
Well, here's one more that I can ask. Regarding the gore and monsters on the show, is it all CGI? Or is any of it just old school makeup and props?
That I'm not sure, but I could come back at the end of the season and let you know after.
Okay.
Netflix drops it, I can let you guys know. I'll be on set.
Because if it's old school, you'll be cleaning out of the costumes, right? Like, oh, it's got to come out of there.
Oh, no, they have special people for that.
Oh,
for
cool.
Sure. Yeah.
All right, Tripp. Hit her with one of these Stranger Things questions.
I think, like, most of the rest of them are... all plotline stuff.
We're looking through the list here. Hold on.
Yeah, no problem.
Oh, this one's kind of good, I guess. Now, you're around the actors and actresses quite a bit. Are you assigned to a certain one?
As of right now, no. But that could possibly change throughout the season.
Gotcha.
So, right now, I'm basically, like, helping everyone. So, and it's cool. I like I said, like, I'm absorbing everything I possibly can. And the fortunate thing about Atlanta is that a lot of people in the film industry here are able to get jobs here. So I highly encourage anyone who, you know, wants to get in the industry, Atlanta's probably a great starting point to get your foot in the door.
So you've been in Atlanta for a while now. Have you met Trey Young?
You know, we haven't been to a Hawks game this year. I kind of boycotted them last year because of we were Hawks fans. But my boyfriend got me back into basketball, and when the Hawks won like a 60-plus that season, and after Coach Bud imploded the team, I won't even get into it because I'm probably not a lot of Hawks fans.
Yeah, you sound really upset about it.
I'm still a little bothered by it, but and he's now currently on a great team in Milwaukee. So, but yeah, we're happy to have Trey, and I hope we can make it out to a game before the end of the season.
Oh, that would be fun.
See, I keep checking the Hornets stats to see how Muggsy Bogues is doing. So that's how long it's been since I did any kind of pro ball stuff.
Come on. Well, most of the time, I'll be honest, I follow it lightly through the season. Playoff time, I do tune in, and I like to watch it.
Uh-huh.
I think the season's too long for those guys.
Yeah, it's very long.
Okay, I'm looking through the questions.
You guys have any other questions?
Yeah, well, we're looking
at the list. I can tell you something that's unrelated to Stranger Things, but a couple of celebrities, some cool celebrity encounters that I've had while I lived in New York.
Okay, cool.
Always cool.
Yes.
Okay, so my favorite one of all time, you guys. Are you guys ready for this?
We're ready.
It's pretty amazing. I wasn't expecting it. I was standing on the corner of 59th and Columbus Circle at Starbucks. I'd been shopping, and I was waiting to meet my friend for coffee, and it was cold. And I went outside because I didn't want him to miss me. And so I'm standing there, and I'm trying to put on my coat. And all of a sudden, this guy behind me is like, can I help you with your coat? And I turn around, and it's Robin Williams.
No way.
And wow.
I was like, oh, my God. And he had the kindest, sweetest, like, gentle soul. He was so sweet. He was so nice. You guys, he helped me put my jacket on. I'll never forget that.
Did
so
you melt?
Really sad.
Did you melt right
I'm
there?
Sorry?
Did you melt right there?
Oh, yeah. I think I was speechless. I was definitely startled. And, you know, living in New York, you kind of, like, it's a rite of passage. Like, you just don't really, like, mess with celebrities when they're around. Like, if you see them, you're like, oh, okay. But, like, you kind of keep going. But with him, like, I had to talk to him.
Do you know who you are? Cool.
Right.
You're Mork.
Mork. Nice pull.
Or Miss Doubtfire. Of course, I'm thinking Miss Doubtfire.
That's right.
But, you know, whatever. Semantic.
So that's your number one.
And then my second one, this is when I worked on the Upper East Side. I worked in this retail store called Lester's. And it was kind of like this bougie upper echelon, Upper East Side typical store, but it was where parents would come in and bring their kids shopping for, like, camps. They would send their kids off to, like, camps for, like, 6 weeks, and they'd buy them, like, $100 jeans, like, $200 t-shirts. Well, Katie Couric came in with her daughter. And so I'm helping them, and we're talking, and her daughter's, like, looking at this, like, Wild Fox t-shirt that's, like, $200, and she looked at me, and she was like, honey, I'm not paying $200 for a t-shirt.
Good for her.
And I was like, you know, and here I am trying to, like, sell them stuff, and I cannot help but laugh, and I was like, Katie, I totally understand. And she was really cool. Like, that was the one celebrity I asked to take a picture with me, and I would have never done that typically, like, on work, and definitely not here on set. But she was super nice and super friendly and very down to earth. I loved her. She was great.
Now, so when you were in New York, you were living in the Bronx, or were you?
I lived in the Bronx for the 2 years I was at Fordham. And then when I graduated, my best friend and I lived on the Upper West Side, 97th and Central Park West. If you went on our balcony, you could see Central Park from our balcony. Now, mind you, I need to say this, that, like, I just graduated college, and so my parents were willing to help me out for a year, and my friend's dad owned the apartment. So I didn't realize at the time how good I had it
right.
until I had to start paying my own rent. And so after that, I lived in, like, Brooklyn and in Williamsburg, and I lived in Long Island City. So basically, like, all the boroughs except Staten Island. So,
which I've often heard a lot of people in Manhattan say, yeah, that's all the boroughs. Staten Island doesn't count. Don't hold that against us.
I mean, it's cool to take the ferry out to Staten Island because you can see, like, the Statue of Liberty for free without,
right.
like, paying for the tour. But other than that, there's really nothing going on. No offense to anybody who's from Staten Island, but as far as I know, there's not that much going on in Staten Island.
We don't have any patrons from there, so it's fine.
Okay, so how often do you make it back to Gastonia.
I was just telling my dad. My dad just got an iPhone recently, and he calls me occasionally to help him with like any kind of tech issues that he has. So I need to get up and visit my dad. My mom is actually in Nashville with my sister. My sister just had a baby, Gio. And he's like the love of everybody's life. I'm so proud to be an aunt. I'm probably like the most annoying person now. And I get it why people like show pictures of their kids, because I'm always like, look at my nephew. He could be the Gerber baby. I kid you not. He's beautiful. I love him. And I'm not just saying that because I'm his aunt. He seriously is one of the most beautiful babies. To me, he's the most beautiful baby I've ever seen in my entire life. I love him.
So. Proud aunt.
But he was in Nashville. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What is Tiffany doing now?
Well, she just had Gio this past July. He was premature. So she's been at home with him. And she also has an online shop, MatildaBlack.com. Make sure if you're listening, you should go to it because she has amazing bags.
Tripp's going there right now. He's typing it in.
And she has some home line products, too. So I would highly suggest checking it out. It's really cool. So she's been working on that. She's an entrepreneur, and she also does business consulting, too, on the side. But her number one job right now is playing mommy to my cute nephew.
That's the most important job, yeah. Definitely. Okay, so before we let you go, from your time at Ashbrook, well, I'll be honest with you, if you came back now, you wouldn't recognize most of the people. I guess Mr. Griffin was there when you were there.
Yeah, I remember Mr. Griffin, yeah.
That might be it. Because Mr. McGill is retired.
Is next in line.
You know what? I had Mr. Griffin. Yes, I did. Oh, my God. It just dawned on me. I'm sorry, Mr. Griffin. I totally had him. I blanked out. Yes, I did.
He's kind of forgettable.
Sorry, guys.
He's kind of forgettable.
He's adorable. I'm sorry.
Adorable. Hey, that's because this is a phone interview.
Right. Yeah, I've got a great face for radio. It's awesome.
So you wouldn't recognize a lot of the people that are there, but is there anybody from your time at Ashbrook that just stood out to you?
Oh my God, you know what? Miss Elliott. I love
Sarah
Miss Elliott.
Elliott.
Yeah. Yes, she is an amazing lady. Love her. And just, you know, I look back on my Ashbrook days with great fondness. Our whole class was amazing. And I can't believe it's going to be 20 years next year. To me, that is like completely baffling because I still feel like I'm like 29 and not 37.
Are you going to the reunion?
I hope I can go to the reunion for sure. That would be great. I would love to see so many of my classmates, you know, it's been a long time.
Yeah, that would be fun. When you guys meet, we'll make sure we stop by and say hello. I guess they'll have a thing at the football game.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. My dad still gets up to the game, so he goes, you know, you guys should really be interviewing Ricky Rainey because he's done some amazing stuff over the last couple of years, and he's been on TV, like, I can't even count how many times.
Yeah, he has a son. Is it son or daughter?
Brandon. Brandon
yeah,
plays
his son
basketball.
Is there.
I would love to see Brandon play. Yeah.
Yeah, he's there now. So I've actually seen Ricky several times at school, just coming in for various things. And I always ask him about his MMA, you know, career and stuff. He talks about it. But he would be a great one to have on the show.
Yeah.
And his sister, Crystal.
Yeah, Crystal.
She would be a good one. She was one of my
She's
favorites.
A boss.
Yeah.
Crystal is a boss. Yeah, you need both of them. You guys should do like a brother-sister episode, you know, with the both. They would be great. You guys would be laughing the entire time.
They would be great. I don't know that we would get to talk at all.
That's right. We're good at that.
It would be the Rainey Show. Yeah.
Well, this is awesome, guys. Thank you for, you know, reaching out to me and letting me be a part of this. And I'm glad everything worked out. And
yeah, I'm glad you were able to get off in time to be able to record with us. And we're the ones that we do want to thank you.
Yes, absolutely.
We have been so excited about this. And everybody that we talk to, you know, we're like, hey, Monica Blackman, she's working on Stranger Things now. And they're like, yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, and then Andrew follows that with, and what's Stranger Things again?
Now, what was that?
Because he lives under a rock. And
trust me, I like literally pinch myself every day. And I just want to say one last thing. I've been practicing gratitude every morning, and I would highly encourage anybody out there who has like a bad day or it's just things or it seems like it's just not going your way. I find for me, and I don't know if like people, I have anxiety issues sometimes, and I'm sure a lot of us do, time management, et cetera. But in those times, I think about like, especially I have an hour, almost an hour commute into my job every day. And the first couple minutes of my ride, I always thank God for like my family being okay and et cetera, and just finding the little things daily to remind yourself to be appreciative of what you have, because life is so short. And I just encourage everyone to, you know, just try to practice that in their daily life when things get stressful. Gratitude.
Great message. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Well, listen, we'll let you get.
You're welcome, guys.
We'll let you get back to your. What'd you say you were doing? Oh, you're about to fold clothes, right?
Oh, I gotta put my clothes in the dryer.
This is a busy.
My night continues. Yeah.
Right.
This is a busy lady. She took the time out of her schedule to talk to us tonight after working a 12-hour day, and right when we got her on the phone, she says, okay, I'm ready. I just started a load of laundry.
Because as we all know, the laundry's infinite. Here. It never stops.
Never stops. I mean, my boyfriend's an electrician, so he changes like 8 times a day. So there's always clothes to be washed. So, yeah. Well, thank you guys again so much. It was really good catching up with you guys.
Thank you. And we're going to, if you can go ahead and we'll just do our sign off. But Monica, it's great hearing from you, and we'll definitely follow up after the season. So maybe, you know, I don't know when. I'll actually watch it. I'll try to catch up before we talk to you next time.
You sound like it's such a punishment.
I'm going to hold you to it.
It's a good show.
I'm still on the blacklist. I can only watch one show at a time. It confuses me if I get on watching too many.
You know, yeah, it's probably going to be a day where you just have to like binge watch it. You know, like if you're sick or something, just put it on and watch it that day.
I'll see what I can do. Teachers don't get sick. We're impervious to germs.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But our kids, on the other hand, do. So while you're at home watching the kids, watch.
That's what I'll do. All right, Monica, listen, you be safe and show your gratitude tomorrow.
Thanks, Monica.
All right, thank you guys.
Thanks.
Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we had a great time talking to Monica and want to thank her again for being willing to talk to us. It was a late Thursday night when we were doing this interview, and she was willing to still talk to us on the phone and answer all the questions we threw at her.
And we hope you enjoyed our second Ashbrook story as we caught up with Monica Blackman from the class of 2001 and got to talk to her about her role on the Netflix show Stranger Things.
And life in general, which is always good.
Definitely. All right, I'm Andrew Collins.
And I'm Trip Griffin.
And I hope you guys enjoyed listening to this episode.
Just like we enjoyed recording it.
All music on this podcast is performed by Caleb Davis, and it is used with his permission.